ॐ ज्ञानतिमृन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वयं पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुधपदाकं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवं श्रीरूपं सहग्रजातं सहग्नरघुनाथं वितन्तं सजीवं साधुवैतं साधुभूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहग्नललिता श्रीविशाखाम्बिकं तं च वंशकर्तृभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यः वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदवनेश्वरी विश्वानसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिक कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सारि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 22. Yadi prayasayam nirpaha parmeshatayam Yadi prayasayam nirpaha parmeshatayam Vaiyayasanam uthayad viharam वैयायाशानाम उथायद विहारम् अस्ताधिपातयम् गुणासनीवे अस्ताधिपातयम् गुणासनीवे सही वाचन मनस इंद्रिय सही वाचन मनस इंद्रिय यदि प्रायासहम निरपा परमेशतयम् वैयायाशानाम उथायद विहारहम् अस्तादिहि पातयहं गुणासनैवये सहि वाचन मनस्य इन्द्रिय च यदि maintaining a desire Nipa, O King, Parameshtayam, the governing planet of the material world, Vahiyayasanam, of the being known as the Vahiyayas. Uta, it is said, yet, what is, Viharam, place of enjoyment. Asta adipatiham lording it over the Eightfold Achievements.
Guna Sahi Vae,
in the world of three modes of nature. Saha, along with, ever, certainly, Guche, should go, Manasya, accompanied by the mind, Indriya, and the senses, Cha, also. Translation, however, O King, if a yogi meditates a desire for improving material enjoyment, like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the Eightfold Perfections, travel in outer space with the Vahiyas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. So repeat after me. However, O King, if a king maintains a desire for improved material enjoyment, like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the Eightfold Perfections, travel in outer space with the Vahiyas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially folded mind and senses. Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, in the upper status of the planetary system, there are facilities thousands and thousands of times greater for material enjoyment than in the lower planetary system. The topmost planetary system consists of planets like Brahmaloka and Dhruvaloka, and all of them are situated beyond Mahaloka. The inhabitants of these planets are empowered with all eightfold achievements of mystic perfections. They do not have to learn and practice the mystic process of yoga perfection and achieve the power of becoming small like a particle, Atma Siddhi, or lighter than a soft feather, Lagina Siddhi. They do not have to get anything and everything from anywhere and everywhere, Prapti Siddhi, to become heavier than the heaviest, Mahima Siddhi. To have freely even to create something wonderful, to annihilate anything at will, Ichha Siddhi. To control all material elements, Vasistha Siddhi. To possess such powers and will as will never be frustrated in any desire, Prakayatma Siddhi. Or to assume any shape or form one may even whimsically desire, Kamya Vasya Siddhi. So these are all the material perfections that you can actually get in the upper planetary system, anything beyond Mahaloka. You don't have to actually do anything to get it. Just by being born there, you actually achieve it. In other words, you don't have to actually really work. Whatever you desire, if you have the Prapti Siddhi, you just get it. To the point of there where you can create your own universes, you can destroy universes. And in the Vedas, you have already heard about, there was a yogi, I forgot his name, and he has a disciple who wanted to go to the spiritual heavenly planet. So this yogi actually gave him the siddhi, or the ability to actually travel to the heavenly planet. But when he went there, because he was a human being has a particular smell, and the heavenly inhabitants there didn't want him there. So they said, you cannot come here. And this yogi got very upset. I think it was Vishwamitra, if I'm right. And he got really upset. And he said, I'm going to create my own planet now, better than the heavenly planet. And then they had to actually compromise on that because they didn't want that situation to be created. So a yogi like Vishwamitra could actually do things like that. And if you want to actually achieve all those things, you can also actually do that. This is the power of going to the upper planetary system. The chances are very high that we have already been there, you know, and we have come down. But what we have achieved? Quickly nothing, you know. All this Expeditions are as common as material gifts for the inhabitants of those higher planets. They do not require any mechanical help to travel to outer space, and they can move and travel at will from one planet to another within no time. The inhabitants of the Earth cannot move even the nearest planet to the nearest planet except by mechanical vehicles like spacecraft. But the highly talented inhabitants of such higher planets can do anything very easily. So you basically travel with the desire of your mind. You want to actually go somewhere, you think about it, and you're already there. Since a materialistic is generally inquisitive to experience what is actually in such planetary systems, he wants to see everything personally. This is one of the major problems we have got. We want to see everything for ourselves. If we can actually learn from the various, from the scriptures, you know, what is written there, rather than try to experience it ourselves, life would be much easy. We want to acquire knowledge in the ascending form. Ascending form means we want to experience this of ourselves. Once you experience this, then you want to go to the next level. The best way to acquire knowledge is to do it in a descending form. Somebody already has the knowledge, they pass it down to you and actually take that knowledge and move on from there. As inquisitive persons tour all over the world to gain direct local experience, the less intelligent translates the similar desire to have some experience with those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. The yogis can, however, easily fulfill his desires by going there with the apparent materialistic mind and senses. So this is one of the qualities of the material world. You do not lose your subtle body. The subtle body always has the mind and the intelligence. So whatever you have, you lose your material body, but the subtle body always goes with you as long as you are in the material world. The prime inclination of the materialistic mind is to lord over the material world, and all the siddhis mentioned above are features of domination of the world. So this is why we want to have the siddhis. We want to be the lord. And that's the sole purpose of it. As long as you want to be the lord, you'll be in the material world. When you actually decide to be the seventh, then you can actually leave this material world and go to the spiritual world. The devotees of the lords are not ambitious to dominate the false and temporary phenomena. So what is this material world? It is temporary. What's the point of getting something temporary when you can have something permanent? On the contrary, a devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme predominator. That's the meaning of seventh, the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord, the supreme predominator, is spiritual or transcendental, and one has to attain this purification of the mind and the senses to get admission into the spiritual kingdom. So we have to purify our senses and the mind. With the materialistic mind, one cannot reach the best planet in the universe. With the materialistic mind, one can reach the best planet in the material universe, but no one can enter the kingdom of God. Senses are called spiritually purified when they are not involved in sense gratification. Senses require engagement, and when the senses are engaged totally in the transcendental loving senses of the Lord, they have no chance to become contaminated by material infection. So this basically tells you how a yogi who meditates on the Paramatma form of the Lord in the heart, what he sees and what he actually wants to achieve. They basically try to negate this material nature and they want to go to the next level basically to enjoy in the material nature. But the purpose of our life is not to actually enjoy in the material nature. We are supposed to purify our senses, get back to our original place, which is the spiritual world. So as I was reading this yesterday, I was preparing to the class, I was thinking, you know, what's the point of talking things about that which we shouldn't be too much interested in, you know, what's the point of talking about all these siddhis? And I didn't want to get any of you interested in that and hope to go to the higher planet, you know. So I thought, let's talk about the topmost planet. And which is the topmost planet? Golok Vrindavan. So I'm going to talk about the glories of Vrindavan today. And so I was trying to actually summarize what I was reading. In the end I decided it doesn't matter how well I do it, I'll never be able to do it as well as it is already written. So why not I read a little bit about it, and then we actually can understand the passage. This is the Chintamani Jivolo Braj. Brajarati Chintamani. Sri Brajarati Chintamani. And who has written this? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He has written this. So the first text basically talks a little bit about the glories of Vrindavan. Let me glorify Brajbhumi, the place where Krishna enjoys transcendental pastimes. Simply by drinking with their ears the nectarian description of Brajbhumi, the liberated souls abandon the bliss of impersonal Brahman and yearn to attain the land of Braj. Now here we have been talking about the upper heavenly planets. Heavenly planets are good, but the Brahman, which we don't want, are not interested in, even millions and million times better than that. But once actually a liberated soul hears about the glories of Brajbhumi, then they don't want to even go to the Brahman. They want to go and attain the land of Braj. They also don't want to go to Vaikuntha Dham, because above Vaikuntha Dham is Ayodhya, and above Ayodhya is Dwarka, above Dwarka is, and above Mathura is Golok Vrindavan. So they want to actually leave all these places and go to Braj Vrindavan Dham. With a pure heart let me worship Brajbhumi, which is the form of sweetness of meditation on Sri Krishna, which is eternal, transcendental, blissful, peerless, and which although it cannot be understood by ordinary people, it can easily be understood by the resident, by its residents. So to actually understand about Brajbhumi, you have to actually take shelter of one of the residents of Brajbhumi Vrindavan Dham. Now who is the closest residence of Brajbhumi Vrindavan Dham that we know? Srila Prabhupada. So by taking his shelter, by taking the shelter of the parampara, we can actually understand what they have written. And this is why, rather than me speculating and trying to actually rewrite the thing, I thought the best way to do would be to just read whatever is already in there. So, millions of material universes and even millions of spiritual Vaikuntha planets are not very significant in comparison to Vrindavan. Where Sri Krishna enjoyed lunches with his friends on the Yamuna sandy bank and enjoyed many other transcendental pastimes. One of the main things about Vrindavan is that the equality that they have with the Supreme Lord. When you are in Vaikuntha, everybody knows that Lord Narayan is the Supreme Person of God. So there is a distance there. There is an awe and reverence there. The awe and reverence dominates it. There is a lot of respect in there. And when you have a lot of respect for someone, when you know somebody is superior, you cannot really actually get close to them. But when that boundary is broken, and then there is no this respect there, but the love is so deep that the respect actually reverence actually disappears. Awe and reverence disappears. And then you almost think Krishna is equal to you. And this is why Sri Krishna's friends and associates who enjoy pastimes with him as equals reside in this perfectly spiritual abode of Vrindavan. So this is the main quality of Vrindavan. All these associates of the Lord have spiritual bodies. Although their forms and activities appear ordinary and material to the conditioned souls, these associates of the Lord are enchanted by Lord's charming pastimes in Braj. One of the qualities of the Braj devotees, they think they are the lowest, but they are the greatest. Although the forms and the actions are filled with spiritual knowledge, the people of Braj know Krishna as their friend and relative, an ordinary person. This is not at all surprising. So here, the love is so powerful that the awe and reverence disappears and everybody treats Krishna as their own. The parents of other children, the elder parents, they come to Nanda Maharaj and tell him, we have our own children, but we have love for your son, which is much, much greater than our own child. This is not normal. This is how much love they have for Krishna. And when you love Krishna, Krishna reciprocates in a similar way. So what did Krishna do? He became their children. For 1 year he was their child. They had him, they bathed him, they fed him. He drank from the breast of the mothers, you know. They took care of him just like their own child. And the love for Krishna actually increased millions and millions of times during this time. When did that actually incident happen? What was the day? When Lord Brahma stole all the cows and the calves. What was the day? Balaram Purnima. It was the day of Lord Balaram's appearance there. So on that day, Lord Balaram stayed back. He did not go with the cowherd boys. Why? Because Rohini Mata actually kept him home so that he could actually do charitable work on that day, give donations of cows and everything to the Brahmins. Because if Balaram would have gone, then Brahma wouldn't have been able to steal him. So that's why he stayed back. And then it took him about a year, just when Balaram felt, you know, why am I having the same affection for all the cowherd boys that I'm having for Krishna? Because Krishna was actually all those cowherd boys. So this is how actually he figured out there's something going on. And then when he asked Krishna, then Krishna explained what actually happened. Defeated by the humbleness, Sri Krishna enjoys, eternally enjoys pastimes in the Middle East. In their presence, he manifests a limitless flood of sweetness of the most confidential, transcendental mellows. So, my thing on this verse is they are defeated by their humbleness. To actually achieve Krishna, to actually make Krishna become yours, you have to be humble. This is one of the most important quality. Humbleness goes with devotion. Bhakti Devi is only in those places where there is humbleness. If there is no humbleness, the heart is full of pride, the heart is hard, then Bhakti Devi leaves that place. So this is the quality of the devotees. They are very humble. And this is why Krishna stays there. Vrindavan cannot be understood by conditioned souls. For although it might appear to be material, all the villages, forests and cow pastures are perfectly spiritual. It's not a material place. But what we see is material. Why do we, when we go to Vrindavan, see everything is material? Because it is covered by Yogmaya. So to see Vrindavan, and this is what I'm trying to do here. To see Vrindavan, we have to stop seeing it with our material eyes. We have to try to see it with our spiritual eyes. We have to see the Vrindavan with the mind's eye. And you'll be amazed at what are some of the things actually here. Some portion of transcendental Vrindavan become visible in this world at the time of Lord Krishna's manifest pastimes. Conditioned souls think Vrindavan is material, although actually it is spiritual, but beyond the ability to understand or describe. So this is the different forms of. Now let's talk about the actual places in Vrindavan. The devotees declare that Nandishwar Hill, the former Lord Shiva now shining at Nand Maharaj capital, is an endless beautiful crown decorating Vrindavan. So on his eastern, so this is Nandishwar, Nandagram, and that's the residence of Lord Krishna. Now it's a big place, it's a big capital, there are a lot of residences stays there, and there's a big palace. And the palace have four sides, east, west, north side. On the eastern, northern and southern sides, people feel free from all unhappiness, free from all happiness reside on the summit of Nand Maharaj Palace, which is the Puranas described as existing since ancient times. So this is not something that has just come up. It is there for a long time. Nand Maharaj capital is enclosed by wall, great wall built of sapphires. Now when we have a little bit of sapphire, you know how expensive they are. These gems, you know. The whole wall is made of sapphires. The homes within the capital are made of emeralds, with coral pillars, golden roofs and crystal windows. Now you see the opulence of Vrindavan. Emeralds, sapphires. And on the walls they have these animals there, just like the peacocks, which have been molded, and they look exactly like peacocks. Even the real peacocks, the alive peacocks, they get confused whether they are real or not. They go and sit down next to them and just like there. So when this is the greatness of this particular place. Nand Maharaj Palace is made of glistening sapphires with large gates made of rubies. The gates are made of rubies. In the center of Nand Maharaj Palace is a courtyard. So this is where they all gather. In the afternoon when Krishna comes back, then everybody comes to that place and that's where they gather. Then rest of the residents leave and the close members of Nand Maharaj family, they enter the inner chambers of the house. The royal treasury is on the western part. So north, south, east, west. Right? So where is the royal treasury? On the western part. Lord Balaram's residence is on the north. It's on the opposite side. So that's where Lord Balaram is. The treasury is at the bottom, east-west. The treasury is on this side, right? And Lord Krishna's residence is on the southern part of the palace. So Balaram is there, Krishna is on that side, the treasury is this side. On the eastern side is the place where Nanda Maharaj actually worships his deity. So it's a temple. And what deity does Lord Nanda Maharaj worship? Sri Narayana. Right? Because the Brajvasis think they're ordinary people. They need the mercy of Lord Narayana Vishnu to actually help and protect Krishna. So every morning they go do what we do. They go and offer food to him. They do aarti to him. Even Krishna has to go and sit down in the morning and meditate. And this pleases Yashoda Maya so much. But when Krishna goes there and he sees the deity and he thinks, oh, this is just my partial expansion. Why should I be worshipping him? Then he does his japa. What does he chant? What is his mantra? We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna chants Radhe Radhe. He has this parrot, his name is Daksha, and he taught this parrot those two syllables, Radhe. And the parrot chants Radhe Radhe and Krishna meditates and he gets lost. And when Yashoda Maya sees Krishna very engrossed in his japa, and she says, oh, this is a very nice boy. Look at him meditating so nicely. You know, and that pleases him. And then he calls him, come Krishna, but Krishna is so engrossed in his own japa, meditating on the holy name of Sri Radharani. So this is how you understand. Balaram is there, Krishna is on the opposite side, on the western side is the treasury, and on the eastern side is the temple. Now, next to Krishna's residence on the western side, so that's the treasury, this is where the Krishna, this is where Radharani's kitchen is. Right? So, southwest, somewhere in their kitchen is. Why? Because that's where Krishna is close to. So he goes in, mingles with the gopis when they cook in the morning. And then just on the further outside sketch is where the groves are. This is the Guptakun. This is where Krishna goes and meets them. So after taking breakfast, Ishtadamaya puts Krishna to take some rest. And then he sends his friends, he said, okay, you go from outside and you pull the fan. They don't have fans like these electric ones, right? So what they have is a fan actually hanging from the wall and you pull the rope. So it's going like that, you know, and this is how. So he sends his friend, he said, go outside, and he pulled the fan from there. And the servants are actually doing that. While what he does? He sneaks out. And then he goes and meets the gopis in this Guptakun. And then he comes back, and then after that he goes and to the cow pasture to look after the cows. The cow has many beautiful homes, rest on the two sides of the Nandishwar hill. Nandishwar hill is splendidly manifest behind them. Lord Shiva repeatedly offers respectful obeisances to the hill. And then it's not only that, every palace in the house is actually made with imperishable jewel walls, and many jewel entrances, and many gates are with pearls and other jewels. So all the residents have the same thing. If we build a concrete house here, we think we are very fortunate, you know, we are very powerful, you know. Here we are talking about houses made of jewels. Seeing this cowherd man's home, human beings proclaim them more wonderful than the residence of all the demigods. Now this is Vrindavan Dham. Demigods proclaim them more wonderful than the residence of Vaikuntha Dham. And the Vaikuntha Vasis proclaim them more wonderful than the sweetest nectar. So this is the trick. Today's Bhagavatam actually talks about the upper planetary system. What do the demigods say? Compared to what they have, this is even better than what the Vaikuntha Dham is. So you don't have to actually get interested in going on the heaven or the earth. It's better to go to Braj Dham, because there the opulence is hundreds and million times more than what you'll find in the upper planetary system. Now how do you get there? Any ideas? Radhe. See, this is a Braj Basu. Why do you chant Radharani's name? Because nothing pleases Krishna when you chant Radhe Radhe. When you chant Radhe Radhe, then Krishna comes there immediately. Then you say Krishna Krishna, then Radharani comes there. And then wherever is Radha and Krishna, there is Braj Dham. So when we chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the trick. We don't know even what we have got. We don't know what we are doing. And Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they put the whole thing in this package. Just these 16 words, just these two words. Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna. When we chant in this morning, Jai, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. What does Kunjas mean? The groves of Vrindavan. Who is the Bihari? Who is the residence of those groves? Krishna. When we do Tulsi Puja, what do we say? We are exactly praying for what the rest to be residence of Goloka Vrindavan. Just because we cannot understand it. Srila Prabhupada has given us this song, so one day, keep chanting, and one day we might have a little bit of a enlightenment in our heart to fully understand what Braj Bhumi Vrindavan now is. We are known as Rupanugas. What does Rupanuga mean? Who is Rupa Goswami? Who is Rupa Goswami's eternal form? What is Siddha form? Who is Rupa Manjari? Might servants of, personal might servants of, the mind personal might servants of Radharani. So when we say we are followers, we are Rupa Nugas, that means we are followers of Rupa Manjari. What does that basically mean? Who is our worshipful deity? Radhe Radhe. Krishna gets more pleased when somebody worships his devotees than when they worship him directly. And who is the best of the devotee? Radharani. So when we actually serve her, you know, we are pleasing Krishna more than anybody else. So this is a city. Near the entrance of the city are many crossroads and marketplaces. What are these marketplaces? What do they sell in there? In these marketplaces are many stores where jewel necklaces, splendid flags, pearl necklaces and blossom flower garlands as large as trees are offered for sale. What is the purpose of all this? To please Krishna. Filled with fragrant spring flowers, these marketplaces are like many hills of aromatic substance. When you go there, the whole place smells so beautiful. There is a jeweler's shop glistening as a mine full of precious gems. And there are other shops where aromatic substances such as musk and kumkums are sold. So everything is there. The amazing thing is that all these things are readily available there, yet they are sold in marketplaces. Because Krishna goes there in the marketplaces, also gopis come and sell stuff there. They bring their milk, they bring their yogurt, and then who goes to buy it? Krishna. And he barters with them and he steals their milk and he doesn't pay them, you know. And these are different pastimes that happen at different times of the day. Because all these prajapatis, they have only one desire. And what is their desire? To please Krishna. To save him with love and devotion. When they see Krishna, they are very happy. When they are away from Krishna, then whatever the words they use in Krishna's, it might have a different meaning to whatever we are saying here. But as far as they are concerned, they are all spiritual words. For example, when they use, Prajapatis used to say the word cow, they refer to the celestial Kamadhenu cows. When they say trees, they mean Kalpavriksha trees. They fulfill all desires. When they say rocks, they mean Chintamani gems. So whatever they are, it is only transcendental. It's only good. So when the Vedas, the personified Vedas, so the splendid good fortune of the Braj Gopis, they decided to follow in their footsteps and become Gopis also. So when Krishna comes, there are many types of Gopis who appear there. And there are also Surtis, you know, the Gopis, that all the Surtis actually, Simritis and Surtis actually became Gopis, so they could serve Krishna. Why did they do that? Because they saw the good fortune of the Braj Gopis. When Lakshmi Devi saw the charming sweetness of the Braj Gopis, she came bewildered and fainted with envy. Because Lakshmi thinks she is the best of the servant of Krishna. But when she saw the good fortune of the Gopis, She could not believe it. She became envious. She wanted to attain there. And even now in Vrindavan, she sits in one place. What is that place for? And she still meditates, hoping to achieve Krishna in the Rasa dance. But did she achieve Krishna there? Krishna went to her and asked, you know, so, okay, you want to be a Rasa dance. So what do you have to do? You have to give your awe and reverence. You have to become humble. And you have to give this opulent or dressing of yours and everything, and you have to become like a gopi. And she said, what do I have to do? She said, you have to carry cordon. And she said, I can't do that. I'm a queen. Others do it for me. And then Krishna said, then you'll never be able to enter the Rasa. Because this is the beauty of the... What can describe, who can describe the transcendental opulence of this land of Braj? Doesn't matter how much we try, you know, we can't actually understand it. This is Braj Bhumi Vrindavan Dham. Filled with pure transcendental love, the Braj bosses consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the ultimate friend and relative, or relative. Although they were all liberated transcendental persons, they appear just like ordinary conditioned souls. What is not wonderful about this? This is the greatness about Braj Bhumi Vrindavan Dham and the Braj bosses. They have given everything just for one thing, just to please Krishna. They have no other desires. The Braj bosses are filled with auspicious spiritual qualities. They have no material attributes. What might even seem to be faults on their part are actually auspicious and spiritual when seen in connection with the transcendental rasa with Krishna. Seeing these wonderful conditions of the residence of Nanda Maharaj Braj Bhumi, the three modes of material nature must have become embarrassed. They have relinquished all their pride in being able to control others. So what might look like faults sometime, you know, just like... Just like when Yashoda Maya kite Krishna, the mother Leela, to a lot it is a fault, because how can we tie Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why did she tie Krishna? Because when Yashoda Maya was chasing Krishna with the stick, Krishna got so scared, he was crying. And Yashoda Maya thought, if I leave him, he'll run in the bush and he'll never come back. Run to the forest and will never come back. So she said, I'll tie him down. And it was not because she wanted to punish him, it was just pure love of her. And then Krishna magnifies that love millions of times. And he takes his devotees to the brink of almost death, and when they are just about to leave their body, then he actually comes to them. When the Arjuna tree fell down and Krishna actually pulled them down, you know, Nanda Maharaj came then and said, who tied Krishna? And who tied Krishna? And then somebody said, Yashoda Maya tied Krishna. And no, when he said, who tied Krishna? And Krishna was crying and could not say anything, you know, just like, and all he said, Mom. And the tears was falling, and then Nanda Maharaj untied him and took his on his lap. And then Yashoda Maya came, who was basically thought, what happened to my Krishna? She came there, finally, she is the last one to get there. Because she was so stunned that what has happened to Krishna. Knowing all the calamities that were happening all the time there. And she wants to grab Krishna, and then Krishna turns his face away. And Nanda Maharaj says, go to Yashoda Maya. And Krishna said, no. And then Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj says, so what are you going to do? He said, I'll stay with you. Who going to feed me? He said, you feed me. Where are you going to sleep? I'll sleep with you. And then Yashoda Maya could not believe that Krishna was upset with him. And everybody, the whole Braj was trying to pacify Krishna so that he would accept Yashoda Maya. And she was so upset. She said, if I can't help Krishna, if Krishna is upset with me, then what is the point of living this life? And then Rohini Devi comes and says, Krishna, if you don't go to Maya, she will, and she just signaled that she might not leave. And when Krishna heard this, he jumped out of Nand Baba's lap and ran and jumped into Yashoda Maya's lap. And then everything was forgotten in that moment. The past was gone. The bliss was overcame all the disappointment. This is Brajbhumi Vrindavan. What might appear to be fault is actually all auspicious. It's all for the glorification of Radha and Krishna. If someone asks, if Sri Krishna's pastimes are all eternal, then why do some people think that they are temporary? The devotees learn in transcendental science reply. These matters are very confidential and Krishna is unwilling to allow unqualified non-devotees to understand them. For this reason, he conceals the truth from them. So this is why we cannot actually understand Krishna's pastimes. Because it's very confidential. It's only for the Brajvasis. Uddhava, the best of the devotees in Dwarka, he was so proud, or he had a little bit of pride, devotees don't have pride, that he knew that he was the best of his devotees. Because Krishna, when he was to ask Uddhava for instructions. But when he went to Brajbhumi, then he realized his insignificant position. He said, we all wanted to be a blade of grass there. So the best devotees in Dwarka, their place in Braj is just a blade of grass. That's how humble they might become, because that's the quality of the devotees in them. What is the land that is Brajbhumi is made up of? There are different substances that are made of land. Sandalwood, camphor. The banks of Yamuna are made of camphor dust. In other words, it's just white. It's like crystal white. So pure, but it's not hard, it is soft, it is so full of so much aroma. And when they bathe Krishna in the morning, they use Narayana oil on Krishna, they give him a massage. And after that massage, they put paste on Krishna, because when you put paste on Krishna, it takes the oil away. What is that paste made of? People who do deity worship. Sandalwood paste, camphor, and saffron. Those three things are combined together. Not those chemicals we spray on Gornika. You know. Should be paste, at least sandalwood paste. You know. Take 10-15 minutes time, you know. If somebody doesn't have service, come in, take 10-15 minutes, you know, rub some panchandan in the evening so that in the morning when the pujaris go, they can bathe the deities with chandan. Not some organic or so-called mineral substance that we use. Certain places are actually made with sapphire stones, but they're not hard, they're soft. Emeralds. The forest of Vrindavans, what are they made? They are different types of forests. You go to certain part of the forest and the whole forest is golden. The trees are golden, the flowers are golden, the leaves are golden, the ground is golden. You go to another part of the forest, it's all sapphire. It's all the color of Krishna. And sometime when Radha and Krishna are together, so suppose Radha and Krishna are in the golden forest and somebody sees them, what do they see? Tejasi Krishna. Because Radharani blends with the background of the forest. And when the mother-in-law of Radharani sees, then she says, "Oh, Krishna is alone there. These people have been lying to me. Radharani is not with Krishna." And sometime when they are in the sapphire forest, then oh, they see Radharani. And she says, "Oh, my daughter-in-law is alone. She's not with Krishna." And she glorifies him and leaves him. Some forests are made of crystals. Some have a combination of those. They have crystal flowers and coral leaves, you know, coral trees. Or sapphires and emeralds. There's a combination of them. Different forests. Here we have seasons. Seasons appear one after another. In Vrindavan, all the seasons appear at the same time. Different forests have different seasons. When Krishna actually goes to meet Radharani and the gopis at midday at Radhakund, after actually having their bath at the Radhakund, he goes and walks around in the forest, and he goes from one forest to another forest. And when he goes from one forest, there are different colors forest, you know, as I was saying, forest made of around, in the middle is Radhakund. Around there are eight different forests in each direction. Each of these forests are maintained by the eight sakis. Each of the sakis have a different complexion and different color. For example, Tungabhadra is reddish in color. So half forest is all rubies. The palaces are rubies, the trees are rubies, the ground is rubies and everything. And then Krishna goes from one place to another, and each of these places have different things. Then he goes to the Sudevi's forest. What is the glorification of our forest? That's where Krishna plays chess with Radharani. Then he goes to another forest where there is a swing festival going on. Then he goes into a forest which has different seasons. The spring seasons, the summer seasons, and in each of those places, according to the season, according to the forest, they have got different things that they offer to Krishna. They have made garlands made of different flowers which is offered in, appear in different seasons. This is Braj Bhumi Vrindavana. Where everything, all they have to go to this Kalpa Vriksha tree. Actually, there's only one Kalpa Vriksha tree. Originally, there was only one. There's a huge tree which is actually next to a jeweled palace, which actually is the residence of. It's in all those groves. These palaces are actually like in the shape of lotus flowers. So each of those eight beings, and they have these palaces which are 5, 6, 7, 8 stories high. Right, they have their own courtyard and everything. And then each of these wing feathers spreads into have another 8 petals there. And then there are other places like that. And they, all the residents actually reside there. All the trees, because they had actually associated this with this original Kalpa Vriksha tree, they also acquired the same qualities. Just like the devotees of Vrindavan, the Brajbasis, by the association of Krishna, they also get the same qualities as Krishna. So if you want to actually go back to Braj Vrindavan Dham, there's a few things. You chant Hare Krishna, you chant and have association with the devotees of Braj. So we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has appeared here in his murti form, in his personal form, in his book form. You know, and by taking his association, we can also have a little bit of inclination, little bit of desire to actually go to Braj Bhumi Vrindavan Dham. What I've just given you a little bit of, so Yamuna, one of the three principles, a few principles, one of the main things. Why is Yamuna crooked? Why is he actually winding all the places? Why isn't she straight? If you look at Yamuna, she goes all around Braj. She's just like a garland, a sapphire garland, offered to the goddess of Prajbhumi. Who is the goddess of Prajbhumi Vrindavan now?
Ranarani.
So Yamuna is like a gana that is being offered, or a shesh that is offered to Krishna. Krishna says, Sapphire shesh. And she's winding every place because she wants to actually get Krishna. So she's crooked, she's trying to find everywhere where is Krishna. And of all those places on the bank of Yamuna, which one is the king of all those places? Bamsiba. You know, you heard of that place? On that place there's two jewel steps. They're white. They're like crystal steps. The beauty about Vrindavan Dham is not that. Everything is conscious. And the steps are also conscious. And when they see Krishna, they become so happy that they melt. What is the nature of stone, gems? To be solid, right? They are hard. But they become opposite to their nature. They become liquid. And the water between the two stairs, they become solid. So water becomes solid and the stones become liquid when they see Krishna. All the residents of Brajbhumi Vrindavan, of the Yamuna, they try to get out of the water, putting their head out. Why? Because they want to see Krishna. The lotus flower that grow in the Kusum Sarovar. You know who they're going to become in their next life? Gopis. Because Narad Muni, once he took bath in Kusum Sarovar, what he became? Narayani. Naradini. Naradi. Naradi. So if you want to actually take a form of the gopi, then come and take in the bath in the Kusum Sarovar. These are the glories of Golok Vrindavan Dham. And we haven't even started anything about Haridas Bharyo. Who is Haridas Bharyo? The Govardhan, the best of the seventh. There's a lot of places there. Vrindavan is full of pastimes, full of these places. We have to read this so that we can meditate on it. We have to understand it. Any comments, any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Do they have Ekadashi in the Tigram?
Ekadashi?
Ekadashi festival.
Don't know. I don't think so.
You don't have fast.
Huh?
You don't have fast.
I don't think they have fast. They are just feast. Because they're cooking for Krishna all the time, you know. Sometimes Krishna runs away and he's playing so much, you know. And then when he's playing, you know, with Balram and his god friends, and it's time for lunch. So Yashodamaya sends somebody to go and call Krishna, and Krishna will not come. So what? Then finally Yashodamaya has to go herself and tell Krishna, Krishna, today is your birthday, you have to come and donate cows and give charity to the Brahmins. Then Krishna comes. Is it his actually better day? No. Because that's the only thing that brings Krishna back from the flying field. Then Yashodamaya brings and Krishna gives donation of cows and charities to the Brahmin. So, what happens there every day? We don't know. They do fast. Because the gopis fasted, right? To achieve, attain Krishna. They fasted at this Kadamba tree, under the Kadamba tree. So yeah, they do fast. But they don't fast for their own purification. They only have one desire, to achieve Krishna. They'll do anything to achieve Krishna, doesn't matter. They don't care. For example, you must have heard about the pastimes when Krishna had his headache. when he was in Dwarka. And then when they asked him, how will your headache going to disappear? What did he say? If I can get the dust of one of the devotees. And nobody in Dwarka was prepared to do that. Even Narada Muni said, what are you going to do? You know, Narada Muni said, you are a great devotee. Why don't you give your dust? He said, how can I do that? He's my Lord. I'm going to go to hell. But when Krishna said, go to Braj, they might be able to give me some. And when Narada Muni went there, they gave him so much dust. He said, don't worry, you know, take all this dust. Just in case if he has headache, you don't have to come here again, you know. It's just there readily available. And when Narada Muni said, but you're going to all go to hell. He said, as long as Krishna is happy, he is good, we don't care where we are. This is the mood of Braj Dham. This is the mood of the devotees. They don't care for themselves. To them, as long as Radha Vallabha is happy, all is good. Any other comments, any other questions? Today is half day fasting because one of the great acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who more or less re-established, whose desire was, or probably the first person who desires to actually preach outside of India, to have, and that's when he actually prayed for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the dream. Tomorrow is actually his appearance day. We are doing half day fasting for him. And also Bhamun the appearance. So fast, chant more. Today is Ekadasi as well. Now we are not Brajvasis, so we have to fast for. Why do we have to do Ekadasi? Why do we have to do Ekadasi? To please Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us to. Don't think about doing Ekadasi so that you can be purified. Fast with the mood that it pleases Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we do everything that pleases the Lord. Take. Dhritarashtrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shishi Gaunitai ki jai, Radha Vallabha ki jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai, Prajbhumi Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.